welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is, if it is, I should say, the fourth Monday of the month between 2 and 4. It is Al Fulton and Breakthrough Networking, and of course, Al's owner of NetOne Services.
Yes, thank you for having me on this segment as well, Dave.
Absolutely. This is a great show. I always look forward to this show because I learn so much about IT and web and the social media type activities, because that's the cutting edge. That's where it's happening right now.
That's true, and that's what is commonplace, and that's what the listeners want to hear.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, of course, and talking about what's happening, my friend Damian Myers from Right Now or Height & Lewis. Damian, how are you?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
We are good. And, of course, Damian, a great attorney. And you know Al, right?
Oh, yes, we do. Welcome, Damian.
Hey, good to see you, Al.
Good to see you. You watching us on BreakRadioshow.com?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, you're not.
Good to talk with you, Al.
Oh, there we go. So Damian, of course, I've known you a long time, and you know how much I like your firm. You guys are just phenomenal, off the charts, just like Al Fulton. The service is tremendous. But tell us a little bit of your background. Number one, as an attorney, what do you focus on, and any other outside activities?
Primarily, I do about 90 to 95% of my practice is commercial litigation. And what that means is I'm helping businesses primarily, but also some individuals, first try to avoid lawsuits by getting them out of disputes through some creative, whether it's, you know, letter writing or just speaking with opposing counsel, or finding a way with my client to do something to avoid having to file a formal lawsuit. We'll do that first. And then, of course, if someone does end up having to file a lawsuit, we're there to help that person all the way through trial and appeal if necessary.
Okay, so that keeps you busy.
Yeah. And you know, we really enjoy, we do a lot of work for small businesses and also, you know, larger businesses as well. But personally, I really enjoy working for the smaller businesses, helping them out almost as their general counsel of sorts, and kind of, you know, helping them in their day-to-day business is something that I really, really enjoy doing.
Now, how would you define small business?
You know, anything with, you know, 50 employees or less, something along those lines. But I mean, I really enjoy working with companies that have, say, only 5 employees. That's you know, really, really enjoyable and really satisfying at times too, because you really feel like you help that company make it. You know.
Now, before I ask you about the 5 or so most common legal issues that every small business should know about, hey, that'd be a good book. Also, before I ask you that, I hear you're a part-time sports broadcaster.
Yeah, you did ask for my interest outside of law. Yeah,
yes, I did.
I do help out with Dave's sports show once a month or so on Breakthrough Sports between 2 to 4, usually there on a Friday. It's a ton of fun. So, yeah, we had a good show last Friday, didn't we, Dave?
That was great, yeah. And, boy, Damian is a great sports guy. I got to tell you, he knows things right off the top of his head. I go, how did he know that? Like some college football player from, you know, 10 years ago, he knew exactly where he played. And many times when you talk to Coach Kevin Guy, of course, who calls in all the time from the Arizona Rattlers, some of those players, you knew where they played college.
Yeah, my wife says it's a condition, but I'm just a college football fanatic, so.
I don't know. You're very good on the sports show, so everyone should tune in and hear more Damian Myers on Breakthrough Sports. Now, the 5 common or so legal issues with small businesses, you know, and we should also include maybe some of the misperceptions with business owners. You know, as a CPA, Damian, as you know, I sort of get a sense the very small business owner thinks, oh, I don't need much from an attorney. Number one, either they think they can't afford it, but guess what? If you're in business, you should have a relationship with an attorney.
I agree with that. Actually, that's actually one of the things on my list here. When you said 5, I started writing them down here. And that one of the things is you know, having counsel before you need it is something that I try to preach to really everyone, but small businesses especially. When you think about it, if you're a small business, you know, losing just one customer or having one delivery of something be late can have a dramatic effect on the success of your business. So you really want, you know, to protect yourself to the extent you can, you want to have an attorney who you trust, who you've retained, who you have signed up, who you can put on speed dial to call as soon as you have one of those problems. And I can tell you that the clients of mine that do have that, they're always glad they've done that, and it's really a really significant part of what they do.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I see this all the time, and of course, I guess I'm blessed being a CPA and knowing a lot of attorneys, and of course, it's just been remarkable. Even on behalf of clients, I go, hey, let me talk to my friend Damien or Jim, of course, Jim Hyten, who you know I know very well at your firm. And you guys are always so nice. Like, oh, yeah, you know, here's that situation. Have them call me. But, you know, if they had their own direct contact, it's priceless. I just think it's absolutely priceless to be able to pick up a phone. Because just imagine the opposite. If you don't know anyone, where do you start? Where do you look? You look in the Yellow Pages or you look online and you don't know how good they are. And
just to clarify that, Dave, when I say, you know, having an attorney, that doesn't mean that that attorney does work for you every month or that you're getting a $5,000 legal bill every
right.
month. You know, I represent some small companies where maybe I'll work for them for an hour and a half one month to answer a few questions they have or help them out with a letter or something like that. And then 2 months will go by and I don't hear from them and I don't do anything. So it doesn't have to cost the business an arm and a leg. You just want to have someone so that in the event when you do need help, that you have someone you're comfortable with. Because, and Al, this kind of goes, you know, you're in IT, Al, this goes without saying, but when you're under pressure and you have a short time frame and a high-stress environment to make decisions, you don't always make the best decisions because, one, you don't have time to, and two, you may not be, you know, thinking with the clearest of heads. So why not make that decision when you have all the time in the world to, you know, go meet with three or four lawyers, see who you're comfortable with, and make that decision before you're presented with all those with the problem that necessitates you having a lawyer in the first place.
And one more point is we may not have all of the technical information to make the proper decision at the time.
Exactly.
It's like preventive medicine. I mean, you know, do it up front, and you're right. On the back end, you could panic and make very hasty decisions, which may not be the best idea. So I agree. I think that's a good number one common issue. What do you have two on your list?
Well, that's actually having the counsel number two. Number one I had was you need to decide what entity you want to use to operate your business. You know, there's a variety of entities out there. You can have a sole proprietorship where you just operate in your own name, and you can have a limited liability company or an LLC. You can have a corporation. You can have a professional limited liability company. There's all kinds of varieties of businesses to have, but you want to figure out, okay, what type of entity is going to work best for my business, okay? And that's also something that, you know, that your counsel could help you with and help you set that business up. And, you know, first and foremost, that's going to give you, you know, for like a limited liability company, for example, that's going to give you asset protection as an individual. And, you know, so it'll be the company that would be subject to liability and not you personally.
Which is very, very important. And you're right. A lot of people just jump into things. And then sometimes it's very expensive to wind it down and switch over to something else. And, you know, there's tax implications, of course, too, and the legal consideration. So it's always good to get advice up front. Now, what do you tell people that like to form their own LLC? Would you recommend it?
You can certainly do that, you know, very easily. But, again, it depends how sophisticated you want your company to be. For example, let's say you have a small construction company and you want to be eligible to, you know, receive favorable position for the federal government based upon, you know, a minority-owned business or a business that employs disabled veterans, something like that. Well, you have to set that company up in a certain way so a certain amount of company is controlled by the person who's eligible for that benefit. So what you want to, you know, the best way to do that is to, you know, find an expert in that area of formation. And I can tell you, it's not nearly as expensive as many people think it is to have that done professionally, whether it's an attorney, an attorney or anyone else to do it for you.
You know, and another example I would suggest is that, let's say, people that try to do their own LLC, and they, like you said, it's fairly easy. I mean, I always have an attorney do it for me, but a lot of people like to think they save money. But then if you have outside partners and you need an operating agreement, most people don't even know how to start.
And there's shell operating agreements. When I say it's easy, maybe I should clarify there. It's easy to create an LLC. It's not easy to create, a sophisticated LLC that's going to best meet your needs as a small business owner.
Well, especially that operating agreement. People just don't understand it. It's not, like you said, there's some, there's like boilerplate stuff, but there's also a lot of economic, that's where the economics happen. You know, what are the economics of this deal? What are some of the tax allocations? People don't understand that, and that's all in the operating agreement. That's sort of like is it like a partnership agreement? It's sort of the Bible of how you operate, and if there's capital calls, distributions, all those economic issues. If you don't have that, then how do you do it? And of course, the IRS would get involved too, whether it's done according to what they would call the partnership interest. So
correct, and you remove any uncertainty. When you have a good operating agreement, everyone knows what the rules are, what's expected of them, and how things are going to be divided as far as assets, liabilities, tax obligations, all those things. So that you're right. That's very important.
Very, very critical. So it's definitely worth talking to an attorney about that. Now, so we have number one is on your list of entity. Two, we talked about make sure you know an attorney. So what do you have for number three, or should we guess?
You guys can take a couple guesses if you want.
Okay, number three reason. We were talking about common legal issues for small businesses. I'm gonna guess this, and then Al, you can guess, or you can say, hey, I like that guess. Lease agreements, maybe your facilities, definitely that. What is that on your Al, first of all, is that what you would guess?
That 50-50 between that and proper liability insurance, level of liability, general liability, errors and omissions, umbrella policy, just that type of coverage.
That's a good one, too. So our attorney expert, what do you say? Is it number or behind the door or behind the curtain or Vanna White?
Or
ding, ding, you're both correct. I had both of those on my list. Dave, yours first was regarding a lease. If you're going to have a business that requires you to rent space, there's a million horrible leases out there. Many of those leases are, I should say many, almost all of those leases are drafted very much in favor of a landlord. So you want to take your time in negotiating a lease. Dig your heels in for the things that are important to you. And I know I sound like a broken record, and I don't want this to sound like an advertisement. It's really worth your time to get a real estate attorney to review a lease for you. And again, these are things that could be done for, under $500 to $1,000, which could save you thousands upon thousands of dollars down the road in lease disputes.
Yeah, no question about that. And before we get to number six, so hold on, let's take a quick break. Damien, you have till what, about 3:45 to continue our discussion?
That's correct.
Well, we'll be right back, and on the line we have Damien Meyer from Reitenauer, Hayden and Lewis. He's also a great broadcaster, great sports broadcaster. I like this guy. And, of course, Al Fulton, you're in studio, Net One Services, and we'll be right back.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Hershberger Assisted Living Home for the Elderly, whether it's a need to recuperate after surgery or just need daily assistance to enrich their life, you can trust that your loved one is being well cared for. Our caregivers are fully licensed by the Arizona Department of Health. An experienced team of professionals provide expert medical care, including physical, occupational, and recreational therapy, wound care, medication management, nutritional support, and personal care. All faiths are welcome. Hershberger Assisted Living Home, founded in 1997, will provide your loved ones a quality of life with loving care. Call Shirley Hershberger today at 602-314-6937. That's 602-314-6937, or visit the website ahomewithshirley.com. Hershberger Assisted Living, home is where the heart is.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is, the fourth Monday of the month. And we always have Al Fulton in studio, NetOne Services, Breakthrough Networking. And we're really honored to have, I think, one of the best attorneys definitely in the state of Arizona, maybe even greater than the boundaries of the state, is Damian Meyer, right now, or Hyten & Lewis. Damian, how do you like those descriptions of you?
Oh, that's great. I wish my wife thought that highly. No, that was very nice to say. But we're very proud of what we've done here at Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis, and we hope to keep growing and adding more attorneys to our practice.
Well, and you're on the growth spurt too out there. I know you have a great culture, and that's why I think you draw like-minded individuals, different specialties. However, all of you guys are just really focused on customer service. You have outstanding talents, and you're very fair with your customers. I know that because I refer a lot of business over your way.
I appreciate that, Dave. We certainly strive to meet our clients' needs, of course, bearing in mind the cost to them. And the firm culture here, it is wonderful. Everyone expects a lot of each other, and does so in a decent way. So we're very proud of what we've done and who we are. We're excited about continuing to work here.
That is very cool. Now, We ended up on lease agreements, and that was number three. And it looks like number four is what Al said, insurance type of areas.
Yeah, Al brought up insurance. That's a great point. But here's the problem, guys. I have to profess, I am not, nor are most law firms, really going to help you guys out with insurance that much for small businesses. We can help you making claims and those types of things, but to find insurance, I think you're better off to maybe talk to your accountant, maybe Dave, you know, or else a financial planner type for your business that could refer you to the types of insurance you need. I certainly wouldn't want to give our listeners much advice on insurance because, frankly, it's not area that I dabble in a lot.
Oh, what I meant by that is the advice that a small business should have contracts in place, which will be number five, I think, just insurance to cover them in case of lawsuits or accidents on the property. That's what I meant.
Absolutely, and those things are very important. And, Dave, do you refer clients to insurance brokers at all to help them out with those types of things?
Yeah, I do, because I sort of stay away from that as well as a CPA, because there's so many things out there that you can only be really, only focus or concentrate on certain different areas.
Right.
But, yeah, I like to delegate out on where other people are more of an expert.
And for example, Al, one bit of advice I have, and this might go without saying, but a lot of it depends on what type of business you're running. For example, as an attorney, I am required by the Bar Association, I have to have malpractice liability insurance in place. And I assume that's the same for a lot of companies. Architects, appraisers, they have to have insurance in place. For example, if you're going to have a contractor's license, you have to have a bond with the Arizona Registrar of Contractors. So there's all different types of insurance requirements that go just with the type of business that you're running. So that's something that your attorney could probably help you out with. But again, if you're a professional, your own sort of professional association would also be very helpful. A lot of those have websites. For example, if you're a contractor out there, go look at the Arizona Registrar of Contractors website. Just type that into your Google and it'll have a ton of information on you there for contractors. Same thing for attorneys. You can go to the Arizona Bar Association website. It'll have all that type of information on there for you. So you want to make sure you're in compliance with those insurance requirements. But again, a lot of that stuff is trade specific. So you want to make sure that you're doing what needs to be done in your specific field.
Totally makes sense. And okay,
does that answer your question, Al?
Oh, absolutely. If somebody came to you and said, I'm considering starting a business, what are the top five things that I need to look at, whether it's cost or just like you're mentioning these items?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that you hit it, the nail on the head.
And one other thing I wanted to talk about real quick, Dave, is capital or lending. If you have a small business, you want to try to, take the loan out, obviously, in the name of your company, whether it's an LLC or corporation, and to the extent possible, try to avoid signing any of those personal guarantees, particularly where you and your spouse have to sign, because then that kind of defeats a little bit of the purpose of the LLC or the corporation, which is to protect you, yourself personally, from that liability. So if you can get that loan without having to personally sign a guarantee along with your spouse, that's really helpful.
Now, Damian, what's the trend these days? How easy is it, and what's the criteria, do you think, to avoid having personal guarantees?
Well, a lot of it depends how much money you're borrowing. I know a lot of banks out there are going to ask you for the personal guarantee, but there could be a way around that, whether it's, providing other collateral, whether it be, the assets of the business, which would also be owned by the LLC, hopefully, or the corporation to avoid your own personal liability. You want to be able to stay to avoid that personal liability if you can. By way of an example for that, I had a client who started an LLC, was very wise in doing so, and they obtained some corporate credit cards. And they used the cards for their business, Eventually, that business was unsuccessful, but the credit card company sued the LLC and the individuals for the unpaid credit card debt. But because the LLC was used, we were able to defeat that claim for the individuals and insulate those individuals from any personal liability on that. Now, I know it's not exactly the right example, but this kind of goes back to using the right entity, but you want to do what you can to avoid personal liability and keep your personal life separate from that business entity, because that, in the eyes of the law, that entity, the LLC or the corporation, whatever you choose, that is a separate and distinct person from you, the individual owner. So the extent you can loan money solely through the business's name and put up business collateral to secure that loan for the lender and avoid having to sign a personal guarantee for yourself, that's a great thing to try to do for small business owners.
Now, you spoke about personal guarantees and loans. However, how about a lease? You know, someone wants to get into a lease now. Let's say they're a corporation. How likely would the landlord require a personal guarantee?
Generally, you don't see a lot of that. Generally, and it's been my experience, that the business can just sign that lease. And that's something where you definitely just want to have the business sign the lease.
Okay, so that's good to know, too. So anyone getting out there in a pretty good lessee's market these days, wouldn't you say, in commercial, with the commercial sort of flat right now?
It has been. We're hoping that's going to climb a little bit, and it has a little bit. But, you know, and the same with loans, too. You know, banks are lending more money now than they were, you know, a year, particularly more than they were 2 years ago. So, you know, there is financing available out there for people if they seek it.
Yes, and let's go over, let's see, we got one entity, number two, no an attorney, three is leases. I think four, we're going to just say go to an insurance guy.
Yeah, that's broker. What I would do.
Okay, so five, or we're still on four then.
We talked a little bit about loaning. The last one I have here is, and I'm not sure this is sort of tailor-made for number five, but I wrote down dispute resolution, and basically what that means is you want to, if you have, be prepared in how you want to resolve disputes that come up for your business. You don't want to run to the courthouse right away and file a lawsuit. A lot of times, once a lawsuit's filed, it's a lose-lose for both parties that are involved because it's just prohibitively expensive. You want to try to avoid that if you can, particularly for your smaller businesses, your entrepreneurs. Litigation costs are just so great that you want to try to avoid that if you can. So you always want to try to figure out in advance of ways that you can resolve your disputes, whether that's by putting arbitration clauses in contracts or just, you know, something as simple as if you have a dispute with one of your suppliers or someone who you do business with, you know, call them up, go out and meet them for breakfast, try to hammer it out or before you have your lawyer run down and file a lawsuit. You really don't want to approach it from that angle.
And how about where would contracts come into play in your list? Would it be number six?
I guess by contracts, that kind of goes hand in hand with knowing an attorney.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, if you're going to have employees, you're going to want to have counsel with some employment expertise that could handle some of your human resources issues. As far as, you know, do you want to have an employee manual? Do you not want to have an employee manual? What's your policy going to be on, you know, pay time off for things such as pregnancies, all those types of things? Now, I'm not an employment law expert, but there's many of them out there. It certainly is. If you're going to have a business of any size, you're going to want to have employment counsel that your HR or your human resources person can work with.
Excellent. That's excellent advice. Why don't we take one more quick break, and then we'll have one more segment with you, Damian. We really appreciate it. Damian Meyer from Reitenauer, Hyten & Lewis. And, of course, in studio we have Al Fulton, NetOne Services. This is Breakthrough Networking. We'll be right back, and Damian, we'll probably ask you some of the most common legal problems that you have seen with small businesses. That might be good insight for a lot of businesses. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches. 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074. 602-625-3074 to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Hirschberger Assisted Living Home for the Elderly. Whether it's a need to recuperate after surgery or just need daily assistance to enrich their life, you can trust that your loved one is being well cared for. Our caregivers are fully licensed by the Arizona Department of Health. An experienced team of professionals provide expert medical care, including physical, occupational, and recreational therapy, wound care, medication management, nutritional support, and personal care. All faiths are welcome. Hirschberger Assisted Living Home, founded in 1997, will provide your loved ones a quality of life with loving care. Call Shirley Hirschberger today at 602-314-6937. That's 602-314-6937, or visit the website ahomewithshirley.com. Hirschberger Assisted Living, home is where the heart is.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. In studio, of course, is Al Fulton, NetOne Services, and of course, this is Breakthrough Networking. And we have special guest Damian Meyer from Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis, a great attorney. And Damian, we left off by saying, well, some of the most common legal issues that you see that companies get in trouble with, that especially if they haven't had an attorney. What do you see out there that common errors that perhaps small businesses make?
Well, I'm not sure if it's maybe an error that just small businesses only, but I mean the vast majority of what we're running into is just simply where one party has refused to perform a contract, whether it's payment of money or providing a service or some sort of product, and someone breaches a contract, and we start negotiating on how to remedy that. Whether if my client's the one that was unable to perform, we explain why. We explain, you know, maybe it was a pre-existing breach by the other party where they did something that they weren't entitled to, or we're waiting for some type of performance from them. If my client's the one that is owed the payment of the performance, you know, we're generally sitting down with our client and talking about the best way to approach the non-performing party, whether that's initially a phone call or an email from just the client, or whether the client would like us to write a letter for them that the client would then sign and send off, or whether they want to get us involved immediately where we send a demand letter. Generally, there's some sort of breach of a contract where someone hasn't paid money or performed or they're supposed to.
Wow, that can encompass quite a bit from
your
lease.
Well, it really does. And like, right? When I say commercial litigation, I mean that's really any type of business dispute. You know, whether it's a contractor who hasn't been paid by the owner, or whether it's a construction material supplier that hasn't been paid by the subcontractor. You know, it's something as simple as that. Or, you know, there's also, another type of dispute we see is what I call business divorce, where, you know, business partners decide they no longer want to work together, and we need to negotiate, you know, unwinding the operating agreement, you know, who's going to do what, who has what responsibility moving forward, those types of things. We see a lot of those, too.
How about wrongful termination with employees?
You know, there's always employment issues, and you know, I guess I'm always a little remiss to mention those because I don't do a lot of that stuff. But certainly HR, and it's too bad because those are the most exciting cases too, from what I hear, Dave, is when there's employment disputes. And you know, I've helped out with a few of those, but I don't do a ton of that. We have attorneys here at our firm that certainly do that, but it's a really big. Big part of it, if you get the EEOC, the Equal Employment Office, involved with an EEOC complaint, that sort of starts a chain reaction of an investigation and interviewing witnesses and all those types of things. So, you know, we also see disputes where, say, an employee is terminated and, like, a wage claim, how much were they owed under their contract? Were they an at-will employee? How much severance are they entitled to? What was agreed upon? How do you deal with their bonuses? Those types of things. It's always, but there's at the core of almost every dispute that we deal with, small business or otherwise, is generally some sort of agreement or contract that it all started with.
Now, Damian, you're also a litigator, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Not all attorneys are litigators. Tell us, let me ask you, do you do many jury trials?
We, you know, that's a misconception. There are not, very rarely in the commercial litigation context, is there a jury trial. And, again, that goes back to what we talked about earlier, Dave and Al, is that litigation is so expensive that it's just, and it's so risky and unpredictable when you get to that stage of having to go to a jury trial. Because when you get to a jury trial, there's no... it's either you all win or all lose, and there's no splitting the baby. So it can get, you know, really scary for clients. And you know, that's one of the things I try to tell them up front, because I want them to, I mean, it almost sounds like I may be talking myself out of work, which I don't want to do, but I want to tell my clients, I say, listen, you know, litigation, it's more expensive than you think it's going to be. It's more stressful than you think it's going to be. It's going to take more of your time than you think it's going to take. And OJ was innocent. So I can't ever predict what's going to happen. So as long as you know those four things, as we start going in now, I'm all in and I'll do all I can for you, but I want you to know those four things up front.
That's a really good point. I like that last comment, too. Yeah. Of course, then he tried to get his own stuff back. And
I don't want to go off on a...
Yeah, I know. That was weird. Now he's back
but,
in jail.
But, you know, so there are not a lot of jury trials in the commercial context. Where you see most of the jury trials in the legal field this day and age is the plaintiff's personal injury claims. That's where you see a lot of jury trials. And, of course, criminal, you know, where you're entitled to a jury, you know, by constitutional right.
Gotcha. Wow. Because I could visualize you like Perry Mason up there and... arguing your case in front of the jury, I bet you'd be phenomenal at it.
Well, you know, we do a lot of trial. You know, we do trial work directly to the judge. You know, which is equally, you know, which is equally stressful for the attorneys, I should say. But it's just it's cheaper. You know, you usually cut 2 or 3 days off of your trial without having a jury, depending on how long the trial is. And there's a lot of things you just don't have to do when you try it directly to the bench. And you know, for a business dispute, you know, you run the risk of a jury, you know, falling asleep or not being engaged, and you know, a lot of people are comfortable just taking it to a judge who's, you know, educated in the field of law, obviously, and it's their job to listen and rule on that dispute. I mean, many clients are comfortable just doing it that way, and you know, there's merit to that.
Yeah. Wow, Damien, thank you so much. The time flew by. Give us some contact information. How can people get in touch with you?
You can call our office at Ridenour or Hind & Lewis. You can ask for me. It's 602-254-9900. And if you want to take a look at our firm profile, it's www.rhlfirm.com. That's RHL for Ridenour, Hinton, and Lewis. And it has all of our attorney profiles up there, including mine. It can give you an idea on what everyone here does if you are interested in any legal help.
Well, Damien, thank you so much. We'll see you soon. And also, can't wait to you're back on the sports show probably in about 3 weeks, so we're going to have some more fun.
Yep. And, you know, I hope I gave you guys some valuable information. And if either of you guys hear anyone that was listening to the show and has any questions, by all means, you know, next time we chat, let's go over them.
That sounds good. Thank you so much, Damien.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Damien. That's Damien Meyer from Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis, great law firm. Damien's a great attorney, and you can also hear him about once a month on our Breakthrough Sports. He's an excellent sports guy as well. Let's take a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll discuss more information on IT with Al Fulton. He's in the studio, Breakthrough Networking, of course, owner of NetOne Services, a great IT company, and also web, because you do all my websites. I love it. And we'll be right back.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hinton & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hinton & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac alongside Al Fulton. NetOne Services is Breakthrough Networking. Again, thank you to Damian Meyer. Right now, Height and Lewis. Al, he's you could tell he's so articulate.
Yes, he is.
He knows his stuff.
He does. He's a brilliant mind.
Yeah, he really is. And a very nice person. And that's what I like about their firm. They're always very fair. They're kind. They have a heart. Yes, I am talking about attorneys, and they are unique. Really, they are a very unique firm. I just really, I know most of them, and I just really, really enjoy them. And as a CPA, I wouldn't hesitate to refer anyone over there. I just really think that highly of them.
That's good. Awesome.
Yeah, it's very cool. So we've covered a lot of stuff today, IT stuff.
Well, there was one thing that
yes.
we didn't cover, and
yes.
that was under wireless. When an individual
yeah.
acquires that wireless router, it is a very important that they enable the security, wireless security. And the reason why is because if somebody is close enough to the router with a laptop, iPhone, you know, any kind of smart device, they can actually, if there's no security, they could actually click on that website, or sorry, the link that appears. It will allow them to connect to that network, that little LAN, local area network. And then it, in theory, if there is not a password on the PCs, the users now, just as though they're sitting in the living room with another computer just on the network, and they can start guessing the names of the individuals who live there, Mike and John, and if there's not a password, boom, it lets them in. They can see, depending on the configuration of the computer, they can see all the files on the hard drive.
Really? Without
any protection whatsoever. So that's why I wanted to mention. So intrusion prevention is important, and that is to make sure you put the passphrase or assign a passphrase on the wireless router when you receive it. Number two is each PC should have its own password. Each username profile should have a password. And third, protect your system with a firewall on the PC as well. So not only is the router a kind of a firewall, but each PC should have the firewall enabled. And that keeps other individuals from even in the same household or a neighbor, because kids will do this all the time. If their internet goes down, they'll ask the neighbors for their passphrase. Yes, it has a password to it. It allows them on the neighbors, into their network. But the parents, if they don't have a password on their PC, Johnny across the street is now able to look at the PC and all the files that are on there and have access to a lot of things they shouldn't. So I'm just wanted to reiterate, assign a passphrase on the Wi-Fi, enable the firewall on the PC, and absolutely have passwords wherever possible.
So let me clarify this a little bit. Let's say I have a neighbor that has wireless.
Yes.
And you look, and it comes up on your computer, all the Wi-Fi stuff near you.
Yes.
And most of them have a little lock, but he doesn't have a lock.
That's correct.
And if you go in and use his stuff, you can actually go on his computer?
You could jump on his internet.
And then they jump on yours?
No, because I'm assuming you're heeded to the advice and you have put a passphrase on your wireless.
Otherwise, if I don't have a wireless. Oh, I guess I would to be able to get on theirs.
No, not necessarily. You might have wired equipment, like you actually plug the Ethernet cable into your laptop or into your desktop.
On my desktop, I do.
But your laptop may have wireless by default. So you could, you know, sitting in the living room, just press the button, you know, turn Wi-Fi on. It'll see five other Wi-Fi routers in the neighborhood. Four of them have a lock. One doesn't.
Right.
You could actually jump onto that internet. You can jump on through that signal, get on the internet. You can also see the computer. If it's not protected properly, you can see the computer. The share that's on the computer, the share is a share name of the hard drive, and that's assigned by the user to share it with other people. And if you know who lives there, and that, let's say the person's name is Mike, you just type in, you click on the share name, it'll ask you for connection, you type in Mike, and boom, you're in. You see everything.
And they can get on mine too?
No, no. Yours has a firewall, so you're protected.
Wow. Now, what about like airports, Starbucks, those type where you connect into their Wi-Fi? Can they people get into your computer?
If you don't have a firewall, yes, because you're on a network. You're on like a normal local area network where people can share files back and forth. So firewall.
Or you need a or you should have a password at a minimum.
A password on your username and a firewall software device or, you know, physical. Cool. Or software.
Wow. Would that be like Trend Micro or that's antivirus?
Oh, they Trend Micro has firewall as well.
That's part of it usually?
Yeah, it's typically the name is called Internet Security. So it's not just antivirus or malware.
And Windows has that.
Yes, it has firewall, yes.
So you're probably okay with that?
Yes, at the minimum.
Yeah. Wow. That's I never knew that. So public place, you got to be careful too then.
Yes.
Public Wi-Fi.
Yes, absolutely.
That is amazing. So you should always have some type of security on your router if you go wireless.
Yes, in the home, and then firewall security on your computer.
And you do that? You set up routers for people?
Yes, we do.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yes.
That's probably a good idea. Wow, can you believe we're out of time? 2 hours flown by. Al, how do people get in touch with you?
Oh, you can reach me at 602-889-7270, or my alternate email address is info@net1services.com.
Wow, and we'll see you next month, same time, same station. This is great, Al Fulton, IT expert, I'm going to call you. And, of course, Net One Services is a breakthrough networking. It's always an honor and pleasure to have you on. I learned so much from you.
Yes, same, Dave. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
You're more than welcome. See everyone tomorrow. Amber Cox, the president of Phoenix Mercury, in studio tomorrow. You want to stay tuned for that. She's really awesome. It's Title IX, the 40th anniversary. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And everyone have a great night. And see everyone tomorrow, 2 to 4.